And welcome to Sleeper Wire Show. I'm your host, Jason, and with me this week, I have a couple of fantastic co-hosts. First, I have to mention him. He is Boss Man Hoos. He's Hoos the Legend. He's the Prophet. Hoos, how you doing?
Did it stop? I thought you were going to continue.
Were you almost done?
I was there. You know, you kind of left me at the, almost at the top of it. I'll finish later.
You know, I know how to finish you off.
Yeah, we'll do that after the show.
I'm going to finish you off right now with us as well. First time on Sleeper Wire at Justin_B. Justin, hold on. I got you listed as something down here. Oh, yeah, you are the CBO of Sleeper Wire. The CBO.
How you guys doing? It's great to be here. Excited to talk about some football.
For those out there in podcasting world, what does CBO stand for?
Chief Business Officer.
There you go.
Getting the business done.
Hey.
Yeah, we're just gonna call you all business from now on.
All your business.
New,
I love
Justin's
it.
New nickname is all business.
Bam.
All business. Love
all
it.
Business, guys. It happened.
I mean, George can pick his own nicknames. I can pick all business's nicknames. Justin's now all business.
Yeah, and that's in a proper nickname, George. That's how you get nicknames. You don't just go ahead naming yourself. Kind of craziness is this Showtime. But hey, man, it's stuck. So Showtime, you're one of in a million to nickname yourself, and it actually sticks.
As much as I tried to keep it from sticking, it actually stuck.
It stuck, unfortunately.
So, sleepers, today there is a ton of fantasy news. Whoa, the closer we get to the season, the more news there will be. Mm-hmm. And then later, we are going to get into Sleeper Wire's bold takes. These are takes that could possibly happen, but the shot is really, really low. There's going to be a bigly punishment for whoever puts out a bold take and doesn't get it right. There's also going to be a punishment if you ignored the post and didn't give us a bold take. So now we're going to jump into the news. Alvin Kamara has been out of Saints practice for the last 3 days. His speculation is that the holdout is due to contract reasons. So I got to ask all business. I got to ask Hoos. How worried are you about Alvin Kamara starting the season? How much do we think this bumps up Lat Murray? Is there anybody else on the sidelines there that you might want to pick up?
Nice. I'm worried about it if it doesn't get through when he holds out, obviously. I think a deal is going to get done with the Saints. I think they're going to try to work it out. I mean, he definitely is the star there. If for some reason something doesn't happen, that's a huge boost for, I think, both the other running backs back there. You know, I would even go as far as to, in deeper leagues, pick up Ty Montgomery.
Yeah.
But for the most part, I don't know if he – I can't imagine him not getting some sort of deal done or something worked out with him.
Yeah, you know, the only thing that gives me pause, and it's not because I don't think the Saints should pay him. I do. I know they don't have the greatest salary cap situation. The one thing I can mention is that Latavius Murray in the weeks that Alvin Kamara was out last year was the number one fantasy running back. So it's not like they didn't get it done without him.
It's a great offense to have a back end. You know, it's one of those do running backs matter situation.
He's an elite talent, right?
Yes.
He's an elite talent. So you obviously want to hold him, but do you want to hold him at what salary range do you think you pay up for Alvin Kamara? You know, we saw Todd Gurley get gobs of money a couple of years ago, and 2 years later he's out on his butt. So, you know, what do you think it takes to get a deal done?
Well, I mean, a guy definitely needs to get paid. I mean, he's only due $2 million right now, so it's no wonder why the guy wants to get paid more. He's 25 years old. This is probably going to be his last time to cash in, you know? So look, I would not be surprised if Alvin Kamara holds out, you know, like, unless they give him what he wants, and we just don't know. We don't know if he wants to be the top paid back. If that's the case, he's going to be out all season, I think, unless they just breaking news. Alvin Kamara is the top paid back. I mean, Zeke, we knew that he wanted to be the top paid back. You know, a lot of these guys, Derrick Henry kind of signaled, I want to be a top paid back. Alvin Kamara has been super quiet. Obviously, his agent is going to want him to be a top paid back. That remains to be seen whether they have, you know, I don't have their cap information in front of me. I don't know if one of you guys could pull that up, but they do have Tony Jones Jr., who is obviously an obscure guy that I would bring up. Right. And then obviously they have Latavius Murray and Ty Montgomery. Those guys are, you know, guys that can get it done in this offense, you know. So Lat Murray, he's a value right now. If you're in fantasy drafts right now, you're probably, you know, ears up when you heard this earlier, or this has kind of been glossed over by the news that we're going to get into next. But yeah, this is very, very in large part not talked about, I feel like, in the fantasy communities, at least today. You know, being Monday, and he didn't show up, you know, like, you know, it was once the couple other days, but three unexcused absences, you know, I don't know. That's signals, you know, get all the flares up and all that whatnot. This is big news to me.
So going to, because you asked, going to Sport Track, they have an estimated cap space of $3.725 million. I think part of the problem we're going to run into here is that we're also potentially going to see the first reduction in cap space the next season, right, because of reduced revenue due to COVID. So, you know, we may see teams watching what they blow up on these contracts, not knowing what they're going to end up with in total cap next year, right? So I don't know. I look at this and I see Drew Brees making a ton of money and Marshawn Lattimore and some of these guys,
Michael Thomas.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I mean, do you want to tie yourself to a running back, especially after seeing how some of these running backs do? Again, special talent, but man, they picked the wrong position because those guys aren't getting paid. Well, speaking of guys that aren't going to get paid, Leonard Fournette was released today after the Jags were not able to get a trade for him. After trading one of their few remaining top defensive players, Yannick Ngakoue, the Jags waived Leonard Fournette. After trying all offseason, they just outright cut him a few weeks before the start of the season. So let's discuss where we think he's going to land.
This is tough. The easy answer that, you know, you see all over the Twitterverse, and, you know, this feels like a very Bill Belichick offseason so far with getting Cam Newton and even the Lamar Millers. You know, I mean, like I said earlier, you know, like a couple shows ago, I wouldn't be surprised if they get Devonta Freeman. But now, heck, why get Devonta Freeman when you could get Fournette? Now, granted, they won't have a first shot at him. It depends what teams has first priority on waivers. I believe that the Jets will. I kind of threw out there that it was the chances of them picking up Fournette and releasing Lev Bell. I mean, this is cut week. You know, the cuts will end on Saturday. Obviously, there'll be more cuts after that, being guys. But that'll be it. We got football next week, guys.
Next week, man. Can you believe it?
This is insane. You know, we had COVID, you know, almost derailing it all. We're going to have at least a week of football, right? Before they're like, somebody gets it. I hope they just don't travel, but they're going to do it. And that's probably one of the parts that's going to derail the season. But I digress.
So, Justin, where do you think Fournette winds up?
I mean, at this point, you can kind of pick a team. There's a lot of names out there. There's a lot of speculation on Woody Tampa. You know, that's a big one that people are talking about. I think Washington's also pretty high, I believe, in the waiver process. And they did lose Darius Geis. I know Gibson is a good pickup. I picked him up everywhere. I like Gibson. And I do have a special love for Bryce Love, but I think that that could be a good spot. You know, they kind of thought that they had their future in Geis, and now he's not with the team. You know, obviously AP's older, and you do look that that does have a big, there's a lot of running backs there at the moment, but if they have the cap space, which I don't know, or whatever they're looking for, they could pivot to a Fournette situation there, just because they are so high and because of what happened in the offseason.
So looking at Vegas odds, they have the Bears at the highest chance of getting him, and the Bears are an interesting spot. You know, David Montgomery with a lower body injury, you know, out a couple of weeks, he could be a definite change of pace from what they have with Tariq Cohen, a guy who can carry the ball on first and second down. Tariq Cohen, you know, obviously the third down back. That might be a nice fit. And then I saw not too long ago a couple of reports that Leonard Fournette would like to go to the Rams. And I don't know that it makes a whole lot of sense for the Rams, having Akers, having Henderson. Somebody who's a bit proven wouldn't be so bad on that team, given that Darrell Henderson didn't do much last year and Akers is a rookie. Leonard Fournette is good friends with Jalen Ramsey. They say maybe potentially want to reunite there, but I'm not sure that it makes a ton of sense on the Rams. So we'll keep watching that, but it does leave a massive sized hole in Jacksonville. And part of that, I think, you know, in trading Ngakoue, releasing Fournette, you know, getting rid of any talent there that's due to make some money. The talk is they're tanking for Lawrence. You know, we still have this season to worry about. Is there a running back on that team now that you're halfway interested in?
Yeah, I mean, for me, you know, trades pending, it's Armstead. I think he's the biggest beneficiary right now. He was, you know, a fifth round pick. He didn't get much work, but he is 220 and he's got a 4.45 speed. He's similar-ish to the Fournette. You know, they do have Chris Thompson there. And we know that, you know, Jay Gruden's there. And I think with Chris Thompson, they brought him in to do what Jay Gruden does with Chris Thompson. Right. You know, he's going to pass. He's going to get that work. And I do think he gets an uptick. But he's, you know, he has an injury history as well. You know, I can't see him as an every down back. I don't think anyone can. He's a scat back. So for me, if I'm going to cast my chips, it's going to be Armstead. He's been the perceived handcuff now up until this point. So it's not so much of a hot take, I think, but that's where I'm leaning.
No, I mean, you do have some CT truthers out here. I've got them in my underpants. but no, I mean, I do think, you know, obviously, and we had John Shipley from On Beat earlier. You know, we were blessed. If you listen to this, probably yesterday, but that show's out there, On Beat. We had John Shipley, the beat reporter from the Jaguars, earlier on tonight, and he said, "Yes, Raekwon Armstead will get the first crack at the." The carries, but Divine Azigbo, he said that, you know, and obviously I'm very high on these obscure guys, but it was very interesting. He said that, you know, he is a Jay Gruden style running back. So yes, Raekwon Armstead looked good and he has shown pass catching abilities. But I thought it was interesting that he said that, you know, this is a Jay Gruden style running back and he fits what he wants to do. A beat reporter, we don't have preseason games. We don't have a lot of these things. So we kind of have to lean on these beat reporters that are on, you know, they got the, you know, as my guy Spac says, boots on the ground and they're reporting, seeing what we can't see. So Divine's a guy that I'm definitely stashing in Dynasty. And I think he possibly could take over the role later on. But I think this is definitely a 1-2 punch here between him and Azigbo. And then CT is going to spell. I think he's going to kind of pretty much play like a wide receiver role. you know, as Gruden does. You know, and then obviously you got James Robinson in a deeper league. You can stash him. He could be a thing. He could be a thing. He did well in college.
My issue with Armstead, and I've seen a couple of people say this, so but it's kind of the thought process is the Jags are going to be behind a lot, right? Probably early, right? They traded their best defensive player, like we talked about. Their cornerbacks have never seen any NFL action. They're not going to have any preseason games. That defense is gone from a couple of years ago. The one that we all thought was destined to be good for years to come, that's gone. So what we have now is a team that's going to be playing from behind, and a guy like Armstead or a guy like Fournette might have to give way to a guy like Thompson in the third and fourth quarter, because you're going to be passing a lot. So, you know, we'll see how it plays out. If it were me today, I'd probably put more money on a third down back like Thompson in this offense than I would in Armstead, just because I don't know that this offense is going to move, and I don't think they're going to score that much. So especially in a PPR, I want to take the points for the catch, and we haven't seen if Armstead can do that yet.
Right. Yeah, I think that's fair. You know, with Thompson, you're right. He's going to be out there a lot, and definitely in a PPR, even half point, I would boost Thompson up. But I definitely think Thompson doesn't really have the wear and tear. And I think, you know, if anyone, Jake Gruden knows that. So it is going to be interesting to see how that all shakes out.
Yeah, I don't really see Chris Thompson getting, you know, as I'm looking at him in my underwear, I can't see him getting, and also my prophecy, you know, the globe sphere here.
The globe's glowing.
Yeah, I just can't see him getting that 100, obviously. No, I don't think anybody's expecting him to get that 100 targets that Fournette was getting. I don't think people, you know, while Fournette was there, no one thought he was going to get that again. Obviously, because they did bring in Chris Thompson, but as all business did allude to, Gruden knows what he has. And I don't think he's going to overwork him, because he can't, you know, this is a guy that was once like a top 12 running back in PPR leagues. He just couldn't stay healthy throughout the season. And yeah, you can't overwork a guy like this. So Armstead and Ozigbo are definitely going to be the 1-2 there. It seems that way, especially from the beat guys. And then Chris Thompson's definitely going to be someone who will, be there in a third down situation. But yeah, definitely love to take there with Chris Thompson possibly being the one to own in fantasy. But in a dynasty, Ozigbo I like the most.
All right, and we're going to talk about even more running backs with Lev Bell and Frank Gore. CBS Sports and then a bunch of other people reported that in camp right now there's a 60-40 split between Lev Bell and Grandpa Frank Gore. This follows Lev Bell calling out head coach Adam Gase on Twitter after Gase told the media Bell had an injured hamstring. Ugh. So, yeah, just not looking good in New York for Lev Bell, Adam Gase, the Jets. So with all of that in mind, what is your opinion on Lev Bell? And then let's couple it with the trade attempt for Kalen Ballage. What do we think? What do we think here with the Jets?
Sad.
It really is, man. Lev Bell is a top talent in this league. And you know, it goes back to last year where the GM traded for Lev Bell and Adam Gase didn't want him, right? And now you got this guy and you don't want to use him. So you bring in a guy like Frank Gore. Do we see a 60-40 split in New York? Do you think Le'Veon Bell, he's going, I've seen him in round three. Like, are we dropping him down the board now and just ignoring that whole backfield? What are we doing, guys?
Fire Gase. Thank you. I mean, Jesus, what is this guy doing? And leave it to a New York team, of course, right? To be a laughingstock as a Nick fan, as I'm wearing a Nick hat. Leave it to a New York team to be the laughingstock. I'm glad it's not the Giants, because Giants is my one. But I'm still a New York fan. Unfortunately, the Jets is one of the teams I root for. But Jesus, get Gase out of here. What is this guy doing? just Lev Bell is a talent. The patience, guys literally model their game after Lev Bell.
Yep.
The patient style running, yep. That's Bell. Who did that before Lev Bell came to the game? And I'm sure there are some, but who did that really?
Yeah, just from like even Steelers realm, watching him be able to just stop midfield and look and then go off.
It was
unbelievable. And even when the Jets leaned on him early in the season last year, because it just seemed like there was really no game plan at all, he did well. I mean, he did well in the beginning of the year.
He did okay.
Well, he did well for fantasy.
He did well for fantasy.
He did well for
real life.
Right.
Look, guys, we talked about just a minute ago potentially cutting Lev Bell and adding Fournette, and I've heard that a couple times. That is something that is going around. It's time to play my favorite game of guess that dead cap hit. What do you think it will cost if the Jets cut Lev Bell?
I off of the top of my head, I don't know. I'm going to say $8 million.
All right. All business. You're the CBO. You should get this.
Man,
you better get this.
I better get it.
Uh-oh, that's good.
I have no idea. I can't even begin to guess. Would you say, should I Price is Right you?
Do it.
You might have to.
$8 million and a dollar. No.
Hey, see, that's my CBO being smart.
I don't know. $9 million, maybe?
Okay. All right. So Lev Bell's base salary is $8.5 million. His signing bonus hit for this year is $2 million. His roster bonus for this year is just shy of $5 million. His dead cap money for this year is $17 million.
Whoa.
Lev Bell is on the Jets this year, whether he plays or is tweeting throughout the game. Lev Bell's on this team this year.
I mean, look what the look what Bill O'Brien did.
I get you. You know what? You're right.
He took on the whole salary.
But the Jets, listen, the Jets have an out in 2021 where Lev Bell would only be owed $4 million in dead cap space. So, you know, he's on this team this year.
They literally ran him with the second team today.
They did. They did. Like I said, 60-40 split, which means Gore's running with the first team 40% of the time. So either Lev Bell's holding a clipboard and shooting nasty notes at Gase through Twitter, or he's running with the second team. But either way, it's not good, right?
It's the real thing.
No, so, I mean, the kind of talk and environment that we're getting from this, just it just doesn't seem good. I mean, it doesn't seem... You know, it seems kind of like it's a battle, you know. Lev's tweeting in all caps, I practice for games, and you know, and taking Gore, drafting Perine, like it just there's something going on there. I don't feel very confident. I have very little roster of Bell. Just because of where he's going, a lot of times I'll grab someone else if I happen to be in that spot. It doesn't look good.
Yeah, you know, he's getting drafted in that area where every running back has its issues. You know, Todd Gurley, David Johnson, those guys. Everybody, James Conner.
Other than Conner. Carson. Carson?
Yeah.
Carson's a gem in that.
I mean, listen, I agree, but Carson's got his injury issues too. They've got other guys there. Like, there's issues with Carson, but he has the least amount of issues. But to me, Le'Veon Bell's issues are now just piling up more and more and more, and just got to push him down the draft board. So we're gonna switch to our first non-running back news. Like, this is not all running backs all the time, I promise. Jalen Reagor is out 3 to 4 weeks with a small tear in his shoulder. The initial fears of surgery were dispelled Sunday, but the news is that the injury will still sideline the rookie for a couple of games. Adding insult to injury, Carson Wentz has been day-to-day with a lower body injury. Jalen Reagor has been rising up people's draft boards. The rookie's been showing in camp that he's there to play. this is going to sideline him big time. It makes me want to drop a lot of my Carson Wentz stock, especially with that lower body injury. The other reports out of camp are that J.J. Arcega-Whiteside and rookie John Hightower have been standing out in camp. So do you guys have your eyes on any Eagles wide receivers at this point?
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
What do you got?
Greg Ward. Greg Ward is going to be the wide receiver one in terms of targets for this team.
Yeah, he's the slot. So he's going to be running out of the slot.
So that's my first hot take or bold take. It's a little preview for you guys. We'll get into it later. I was going to save it, but you asked me about it, and I had to give it to you. I hope you like it.
All business. What do you got? What are you thinking about with these wide receivers for the Eagles?
Yeah, I like the Ward take. You know, I've been in Dynasty picking up Whiteside a lot, J-Jaw, you know, just in case if he happens to have a shark year two come back. I know last year they moved him around a lot, you know, for a starting wide receiver. That can be difficult. I know he also suffered through injuries last year. He's not someone I'm taking high, but I would definitely take Whiteside later in a deeper draft as well, just in case, because the reports have been good. His talent out of college, I think we all had pretty high expectations for him. You know, but again, that's in a deeper draft. In a lot of leagues, he's going undrafted, and he's out there on your waiver. So he's definitely a guy I would keep an eye on, at least.
You know, I think that gets to a point, too, that we've been spoiled over the last couple of years with breakouts from first-year wide receivers, but traditionally it takes a couple of years. You know, the talk about a third-year breakout for wide receiver is a thing for a reason. So, you know, we've been lucky in the fantasy community to have a couple of wide receivers as of late, like just busting onto the scene right away. And so we're quick to throw away these guys like Whiteside. And these guys can make a huge impact year two, year three. So he is definitely somebody I'm watching, but he's going to be a waiver wire pickup if he shows out week one versus somebody I'm having to draft.
Oh, yeah, 100%. I mean, this is a guy that's on your dynasty. But yeah, I mean, he's definitely has potential. I mean, Alshon, D-Jax, these are guys that just, they can't stay healthy. And yeah, I mean, these are they're guys behind them, all these no names, and these are inexpensive backs, you know? So, I mean, sorry, or wide receivers that if you're drafting robust RB, you can grab guys and hopefully you have better guys like this because you can get a Woods later if you're robust, but still, these are other guys that you can grab and they might be, you know, it might be solid flexes for you. They should be solid flexes for you. They may be more than that.
And then getting back to Jalen Reagor, he's a guy in redraft, you know, people were starting to pick up in late rounds. That's kind of gone away now. He is going to be a guy that you pick up as the season progresses, I mean, as you see what his health is.
I will say, he could very well be that Odell Beckham. Remember, Odell Beckham missed four games, and he came on and was a stud. Now, granted, we haven't had wide receivers from a class that good since Odell Beckham, Mike Evans, all those guys. We just haven't as far as rookie receivers. So I wouldn't bank on it, especially in a COVID season. He's not a guy I'm drafting at all. He's probably going to be a waiver guy, but like Jason just alluded to, but we just never know. So I'm not completely writing him off. If you have more than like seven or eight bench spots, I'd add him in a redraft. But if you have shorter benches, I don't think I could hold him.
Well, the other thing you could potentially do is draft him with your last pick, stick him on your IR slot, yep, and then drop him if something better comes along.
Yeah.
He's not a bad guy to stick on an IR slot early.
Yeah, or if you're in a kicker league or defense league, there's still a lot of casual guys out there. I know the Twitter sphere aren't kind to that. I don't know, talk about kickers and defenses, and it's like, what are you talking about? But let's face it, a lot of guys are still playing fantasy football with kickers and defenses, and no knock to that. I mean, just look what the Patriots did as a defense last year. So, I mean, you get a defense like that, or you could get an awesome kicker, go ahead. Hey, you know, have fun. No one's judging.
Now we're going to go for a Bengals twofer. During Sunday's Bengals scrimmage, both AJ Green and Joe Mixon were non-participants. At this point, Are we worried about Mixon's season despite stating he isn't holding out? And also, are you willing to take AJ Green at this point, even though now he's showing he isn't healthy coming into another season? What are we doing with Mixon and Green, guys?
Yeah, I mean, I'm not as worried about Mixon right now. Yeah, obviously, there's a little bit of a concern there, just because you're scared if you have him. But, you know, the team needs Mixon. I'm holding off on being afraid of that. As far as AJ Green, you know, if AJ Green's healthy, we can see what he can be. But we've had several years without that. And at this point, where his draft position is, I believe I have here that he's at 69. He's the 69th off the board.
Freaky.
Yeah, freaky. There's a lot of other guys that I want around that I would feel more comfortable with. For me, the fifth round, you know, it's not a terrible draft price, but for me to feel comfortable, I'd probably want to get something in the sixth for Green personally. I mean, like, there's Cortland Sutton there, Devontae Parker, Brandon Cooks, Michael Gallup. Like, these are guys that I'm more interested in at this point, just due to injury and the depth on that team.
I'm going to go over some of these wide receivers in that range, and just quickly, both Hoos and Justin, who are we taking? Okay. So we got AJ Green, Cortland Sutton.
Sutton.
AJ Green, Devontae Parker.
AJ. Yeah, I'm going to go. I'll go AJ on that one.
AJ Green, Brandon Cooks.
Oh, it's Cooks for me.
Yeah, Cooks.
I mean, he's the number one, all those vacated targets. I think he's going to do well.
AJ Green, Michael Gallup.
Oh, Gallup.
Yeah. I know you're a Gallup guy. I personally might lean Green on that one.
All right. Mm-hmm. And the last one, AJ Green or Will Fuller?
Oh, AJ
Green. I mean, if you're looking at injury for staying off a position, I don't think Will Fuller overrides that.
Right, yeah.
And that's, and to me, that's where it is. Like, I take Michael Gallup, I take Brandon Cooks, I take Devontae Parker after what he did last year, and I take Cortland Sutton all over AJ Green at this point just because of the injury concerns. Will Fuller for me was the line. The next wide receiver after that was Deebo Samuel, and he's not going to play for the first couple of games. So, you know, that's...
Samuel looks like he's going to be okay to play those first week, it seems.
Ooh. Okay, so I'm not trusting that either. But those,
well, those, yeah, that are, foot is the foot. You know, that's rough.
You know, so that's my line there. Basically, right around the Will Fuller line is where I start leaning towards AJ Green. But then that's literally just the wide receivers. We didn't talk about the running backs, right, and the tight ends going in that range.
Right.
So, you know, it's just tough for me with AJ Green at his ADP right now, because if he came out in camp and stayed healthy throughout, I feel better about it. And you're getting a potential superstar in that late fifth, early sixth range. But now you're getting a guy who's been injured the last couple of years, who's already injured this year. It's just not going to be something I can do.
And it's just that cliff.
Yeah, it is. I mean, you know, he's the same age as Julio, and Julio hasn't hit it yet. But, you know, some guys hit it early, some guys hit it late. But once you hit it, man, you just, like, right over the wall, right over the cliff, man. So, all right, speaking of injury, we got to talk about some sad news for Derwin James. Oh. He's going to have surgery on a torn meniscus and will miss the 2020 season. There's not a ton of fantasy impact there, but Justin, what are your thoughts on this?
As far as leagues that play with defenses, I'm still in several of those. You know, the Chargers were a pretty sneaky good pick. But a lot of that, Derwin James is kind of their superstar amp up kind of guy. I see a big hit. I mean, I see a big hit for that defense there. I think, you know, having that lower defense actually boosts the offense elements as well. But yeah, the Chargers defense is not looking good with them out.
I still like them, but you know, they did bring in Chris Harris.
Yep, and that's true.
Perriman is back. You know, is it Perriman? or Melvin Ingram's back. You know, he's blazing around looking like a stud in Hard Knocks. So it's like, yeah, I mean, I still like them, but yeah, it just sucks because he's a young guy and you know he's a stud. Right. It's just, when can he get on the field to really prove it to everyone? So it's just another, you know, wait and see till next year, because he's not going to be on the field this season.
That's going to close out the fantasy football news here.
Quite a bit.
Yeah, a lot of news today. As we move towards the season, you know, they're getting they're getting into scrimmages, so injuries are going to occur. You know, they're getting a little harder and heavy in practice. So we're going to see a lot of news, like who said earlier, cuts are coming. So a lot of news going forward, and we'll keep you up to date. And remember to go to the Sleeper app and get all your breaking news.
Yes.
So we are going to move into Sleeper Wire 2020 bold takes. Now, what I wanted to do is get some bold takes from each of from some of the Sleeper Wire guys. Those who decided to participate, I won't mention any Chris Moore names. Come on, guys. I won't Chris Moore any names here.
Right, come
on. You know, I'm not going to call out any Steve Speck. Or Primetime Lucas. You know, I'm not
going to. What's going on here? What's going on?
But what I will do is we are going to read through some of the bold takes for the Sleeper Wire guys. I'm going to give one. Hoos is going to give one or two. Justin's going to give one, and we're going to go through them. They're not here to defend themselves, so what we're going to do is we're going to pick on them mercilessly for their takes. You know, there's a couple in here I can see myself agreeing with, and the first one we're going to do is one of our newest members, Eli Lauer.
Hey, my guy.
Gardner Minshew channels 2015 Blake Bortles and finishes as a top five quarterback. 4,800 yards, 40 touchdowns, 18 interceptions, 400 rushing yards, 6 fumbles, and 344 fantasy points. That's Eli's bold take.
Ooh.
Now, I've got to tell you, I did a little minor research before the show started and looked at Gardner Minshew's 16-game pace from last year. He's not close, man. Like, he's got to throw for 1,000 more yards, 16 additional touchdowns to make that pace for next year. And is that impossible? No, but I think it's improbable given that we're seeing the Jaguars fold up shop before the season even starts. What do you guys think? Hoos, I'm going to start with you. What do you guys think about his bold take? It is for sure bold.
Yes, it is bold, but is it correct? I don't know. I lean with you, and I kind of just feel like, yeah, I mean, they're not the same defense like Blake Bortles had, where, okay, the defense is giving you the ball on the 20-yard line or something, you know, or the defense is giving you the ball on the 5-yard line or something. And the defense is giving you the ball in favorable situations. It's not going to happen that way. This is a bad defense, but that could spell out well for fantasy football as well. It could be chasing a lot of garbage points.
Well, and they're not handing the ball to Leonard Fournette anymore either.
That as well. So he's going to have to throw the ball a lot. Top five is very bold. Top 12, I could buy it. I like Minshew, but top five is rough, especially with the. Come on, you got Dak there. You got Lamar, obviously. You got Mahomes. You got Russ. You know, there's a lot of guys. You got, you know,
Murray Watson.
I mean, come on. You know, it's tough to get past those guys. And then if Wentz is healthy, which he's not, but if he can stay healthy, he's a guy that you throw in there too. So
Brady potentially in Tampa.
Yeah, Brady especially. Yeah, I think Brady, you know, Brady's a top five, you know, quarterback if anything. I don't know if that's bold, but if Winston can do it, Brady can do it. Brady's top five. We didn't get to my part yet, but that's a little bonus for you. I didn't have that in the notes.
So we're going to go to Josh Levi's. Is it Levi or Livy?
I think it's Levi.
All right. Well, Josh, this one's yours. He says Todd Gurley will finish top five running back, 1,000 yards rushing, 1,000 yards receiving. Gurley's most receptions in a season were 64, and his most receiving yards that, and they were both in 2017, was 788 yards with a really prolific Rams offense. Do we see him getting 25% more than his best year ever in receiving yards with the Falcons?
Nope.
I mean, it's possible.
I mean, it's possible. Gurley is a talent when he's on the field. I think what we're facing when we start placing people in these top fives is everyone that they're competing with. You know, I mean, obviously McCaffrey, Barkley, I think Zeke takes a huge boost. Kamara, Henry, Cook, Chubb. I mean, he could do it, but I'm not seeing it as much.
So I think top five is possible, but I think you can get top five without 1,000 yards rushing, 1,000 yards receiving. Now, right. I expect 1,000 yards rushing. That's not a high bar for running backs with 16 games, assuming he's healthy and plays 16 games. So I can see the 1,000 yards rushing. It's the 1,000 yards receiving that I have trouble with, because even when he was healthy and those knees were at their peak, he didn't get really close to that. I mean, more than that 788 yards. So I could be down with a top five, especially in the offense he's playing in, with COVID being the season, with other injuries, with other teams falling off and just like poor usage of other running backs. You could see a world where Gurley does finish in the top five again. He sure has the talent. I just don't know that I can buy the 1,000 yards of each, but again, super bold.
Yep.
Moving on to the next one, blame Greg. Terry McLaurin finishes as a top nine wide receiver this year as the only weapon in Washington. He'll see plenty of targets, 100+. So I will say the top nine is bold. I can see it happening, but it's bold. 100+ targets, not so bold. He finished with 93 targets last year in 14 games. He was on pace to eclipse that by a massive amount last year if he played all the games. Now, it's not about Terry McLaurin's talent here to see if he can finish his top nine. For me, it is about Dwayne Haskins. Can Dwayne Haskins make Terry McLaurin a top nine?
I don't think the connection with Dwayne Haskins will happen. I think Dwayne Haskins is one of those I think he's one of those quarterbacks that spreads the ball around. I don't know if he'll favor just one guy. And, McLaurin just doesn't seem to be his first read. Now, he has shown a better rapport with him in the offseason. Way better. But I think a guy named Steven Sims Jr. will definitely eat into him as far as being the only weapon. I like to take seeing over 100 targets. Sure, he should. Top nine, I don't know if he can do that with Dwayne Haskins. I think I feel like I'm giving a bold take per the bold take. Steven Sims Jr. is going to average more targets per game than Terry McLaurin. But I think Terry McLaurin will score more points.
Yeah, I'd like it. I mean, I love McLaurin. I think a lot of us are on the same take as that. I can definitely see the targets coming. There was a lot of lull on McLaurin last year when he started being the focus of that offense. He got a lot of defensive attention, and I think he's very talented and he can overcome it in certain situations and games. I think nine takes is a little bold, or top nine is a little bold for me. I mean, top 15, that's a discussion I could maybe get behind.
It might not have been bold, though, I guess, if you said top 15.
Yeah, that's true.
Yeah,
that's true. But I'd like it. I love McLaurin. I've rostered him a lot. I try to get him everywhere in Dynasty. But I just don't know about this year.
And overall, I just don't know how much of a bold take talking about McLaurin is, even though the Haskins, maybe it's bold because of Haskins. So I guess it's bold.
Making him a wide receiver one is semi bold, and then cutting it up by a quarter and saying top nine. Right. That's the bold part
for sure.
If I you. Want it. Reception perception on Terry McLaurin's route tree is impressive.
It's beautiful.
Watching him get open last year when you picked him up off the waivers was a thing of beauty. Watching Dwayne Haskins ignore him because he can't get past his first read was aggravating as all get out. So we'll see how he does. Like he is a top talent, and you're drafting the talent, not the team, because that's not going to be a high scoring team. The quarterback doesn't stat out to be high powered. So it'll be, this one is one of those things where I could see it just because he's talented, but it's not likely because of the situation.
If Alex Smith takes over, then yes.
I mean, Haskins would have to take a pretty big jump forward. Step up. And, yeah. You know, I'd like to see it, you know, I had a lot of high hopes for Haskins. I still like Haskins a lot.
I like Haskins a lot, and I don't want to see it. Alex Smith take over, actually. As much as I love his story and I want to see it in theaters, I don't want him to take over because I think Haskins is definitely a talent.
Right. I'd like this to be a closer closer take next year. That's kind of what I'm hoping, that it builds up a little bit more, and then we're talking about him at wide receiver one next year.
All right. Showtime George says that Leonard Fournette will still be an RB1.
Oof.
As of right now, he is currently teamless. Like we just talked about, he was cut this morning. He hasn't cleared waivers yet. We do not know if a team's going to claim him off the waivers. So George says he will still be an RB1. Now, Leonard Fournette ended last year with 1,152 rushing yards, only 3 touchdowns, 100 targets, and 522 receiving yards. He finished as 7th overall last year with Christian McCaffrey, Ezekiel Elliott, Austin Eckler, Henry, Cook, Barkley, Mixon, Gurley, Sanders, Drake, Jacob, CEH, Chubb, Kamara, and rookies. Do you guys see Leonard Fournette ending up in a situation where he can still be a number one running back? Is that situation out there for him?
I don't believe so. I mean, there's, you know, we touched obviously the Rams earlier. I don't know how, unless they just, I can see it actually happen on the Rams. If they just feel like, look, Akers, we want to win games. You know, made a lot of trades. We did a lot of stuff. We want to win games. We'll work you in towards the end of the season. And perhaps by that point, Leonard Fournette already saw close to 100 targets or something like that. Cup's got a little sore, and I'm not really worried about Cup, but they're saying that he's going to be fine for the season. He's probably going to be a better value in drafts if you're drafting next week. But I possibly there, but this is definitely spicy.
This one's hot. Our next one is way spicier and probably our least likely to happen. Dirty Jobs, he knows the hot.
He does.
Mike Gesicki. Ooh. Finishes as the number 3 tight end. Sheesh. Now, he doesn't say who the number 2 or the number 1. I assume it's Kelce and Kittle. But man, that you're talking about Mark Andrews, right? And Ertz, and I mean, you name it.
Waller
and Ingram, and
you got
you know, even and all the disgusting mess behind that.
Right.
Mike Gesicki finishes top 8. You know, I'm going to have to get a hold of Dirty Jobs and find out.
You know, my guy Dirty, I believe he was on that. He had that, you know, he sent me some photos before the show and I wasn't sure what they were. And he was just like, hey man, you got to check this out. And it was like some beautiful flowers.
Gorgeous
flowers. They were gorgeous.
Yeah, I mean, listen, yeah. he was winding down from work when he gave me this, so I can see how Dirty Jobs could get this. Now, we're gonna get into my take, and I don't know how bold this is. It's probably bold only because people have all of a sudden fallen in love with Rob Gronkowski and automatically made him a tight end one, even though he's been out of the league for a couple years, but I say that O.J. Howard is going to outscore Rob Gronkowski, and Woo! Not by a little bit, not by a small amount this year, by a large amount.
How?
And
Houseway. Houseway. Explain yourself.
Well, so one, if you have two tight ends on the field, which one are you going to pay more attention to?
Right.
Yep. He's also more. So listen, he's the one the defense is going to focus on. He's also the 31-year-old who hasn't played in over a year, who was injured the last time we did actually see him on the field, who's only unretiring because of Tom Brady. O.J. Howard will be the forgotten man out on the field, and you cannot cover Mike Evans, Rob Gronkowski, Chris Godwin, and still hope to cover a guy who is still very, very talented in O.J. Howard.
Alonzo Mourning gif.
O.J. Howard is going to be open a good amount, and I think, and listen, they've already come out and said that Rob Gronkowski is going to be the guy inside the 20s, which is great for touchdowns. O.J. Howard's going to be the guy in between the 20s, and O.J. Howard has the talent to take that to the house. So I'm saying O.J. Howard is going to outscore Rob Gronkowski by a lot, and I'm not even factoring in the fact that Rob's probably not going to play a whole season.
You know, I kind of like it. I got to be honest. I do like it. I mean, O.J. Howard is a tremendous talent, you know, and we saw that fall off a lot last year due to the focus, but I'm kind of into this take. You know, Gronk has been out. He's been retired. Year before he was before he retired, he was didn't do too well, at least for fantasy. I'm into it. I kind of like this take.
Yeah, Alonzo Mourning gif. That's the only thing I could say. If you guys aren't familiar with Alonzo Mourning gif, just go look up Alonzo. He only has one gif that's popular. It's kind of like he's shaking his head, and then he just agrees. He's like, yeah, it makes sense.
Yeah.
So I don't have it down here, but Justin, why don't you give your hot take?
Oh, my hot take. I don't know. It's very hot.
I hope it's not
too hot for a podcast. I think Joe Burrow finishes the top 12 QB. Yeah, that's right. I'm bringing it in. I mean, I get it. I get it. I mean, but the man is coming off maybe the best college season in history. You're talking like 5,671 passing yards, 60 TDs, 384 rushing yards. I'm just saying 76% completion rate. Like, I can just run through the stats, and you guys know them. And yes,
yeah.
The Bengals have the bad O-line. They finished very low. I don't even want to say how low here for my point, but I love his weapons. You know, AJ Green, Tyler Boyd, Higgins, Ross. I like Auden Tate, Mixon, Geo. He's got so many weapons. If this newly put together O-line can hold up a bit, I think he can do it. You know, I think he can do it. He's got Zach Taylor there now. He's a QB-minded head coach. He's a former QB. And people have done it. Kyler Murray did it last year, and their situation didn't look great last year. Dak did it his rookie season. I think there's a few in that top 12 that could see a drop, you know. Drew Brees, we've had years where he's dropped. We've had years where Tom Brady, I know that everyone's big on him, he could drop. Matt Ryan, he's sometimes very high, sometimes low. So I think there is room in that top 12 for him to sneak in if he can do a portion of what he did in college. I'm a huge Burr fan.
I will say that is a hot take, but if you want to be bold, you have to say top 9.
Top 9. Top 9, I don't know if I can do it. Can we do top 10? Can we meet in the middle?
Split all difference?
Right. Top 10. That makes a huge.
I'll cast my lot. Let's do
top
it.
Top 10. Oh,
I'm all in on Burrow.
We're going back at the end of the season, and anybody that gets this wrong gets some kind of sleeper wire punishment. So
I'm ready already.
I'll settle on top 10.
You'll have to go to George's house. And take a bath with him.
Take a bath. I know it. It always leads to bath time.
Not a lot of extra room in that bathtub.
No. So good luck.
All right. Who's when we were typing these up, you came in, you typed five or six of these.
I'll give you one or two.
We're at an hour. Let's do one or two and then call this thing a show. Right.
I did give you three earlier in the show that were not programmed into it. So one of them, I'll just kind of go back over talking about Michael Gallup. I think he leads the wide receivers in points. I think he averaged more points than Cooper last year, if you can believe. More targets. And I believe the team came out and said that he's their wide receiver one, or he is a wide receiver one. Cooper's going to be fighting for targets, I feel like. Not fighting, because he's still going to get his. But CeeDee Lamb's, I feel like, more going to eat into his targets versus Michael Gallup eating into anybody's targets. Michael Gallup's going to eat, and I think he progresses even further. So I think he's going to lead that team in points. And Cooper, probably, I wouldn't say he's going to be a bust because he's a value in drafts. But you know, I don't know. He's still going to be fine. But the take is Gallup's going to lead the Cowboys in points.
I think there's a lot of room in this offense to have three number ones, right? I see CeeDee Lamb doing really well. I can see Cooper doing really well, but it's like it is every season with Cooper. He has a 200-yard game, then he doesn't get targeted right. The next game, right? So, you know, I can see Cooper having a big season in spurts like he always does, and the guy that's consistent, the guy that will get you points every game, I like saying that Michael Gallup, especially in a contract year, is going to be the wide receiver one. It's bold, but I love it, you know, especially having already paying Cooper the $100 million that he ended up with and drafting CeeDee Lamb in the first, saying that Michael Gallup is going to do better than both of those guys is hot. It's bold. And it might just be right.
Yeah. Yeah. That might be one of the closest takes we got so far. And plus Jason Witten's gone. I know that some people are higher on Jarwin. I think CD's going to get a lot of that. And I think Michael Gallup's going to get a lot of that.
Yeah, I mean, it's for me, you know, I've always been a Michael Gallup guy and just paying attention. I always pay attention to the numbers right after the season ends. So it's still like kind of fresh in my mind. A lot of people revisit it as football kinds to get hot. And at that point, we're kind of forgetting a lot of stuff. We start baking in the rookie hypes and all this kind of stuff. Michael Gallup has been a guy that any low value, you know, I feel like Jason, I've heard you say this, you know, you don't hate players. Right. I feel like you said that before on a show, you don't hate players.
I hate their ADP. Hate their ADP.
Yeah. I mean, other people have said this before. But yeah, that's, I'm one of those guys. I hate their ADP and I love Michael Gallup's ADP. He's got a sweet ADP, man. He's really nice.
So when George listens to this, I have to say it was George that said that, but it does play off what I always say is I'll never not draft somebody. Right. You know, everybody always says,
yeah, me too. Same way.
You know, everybody says, who's a guy you won't draft? Well, I'll draft anybody.
Right. I will.
We talked about AJ Green earlier. Well, you let AJ Green drop to the seventh or eighth round. And guess what? Now he's a value. I'll never not draft a specific player. It's just about where they fall. And, you know, between where the three players are lining up, Michael Gallup, to me, is the best value on that wide receiver core. Cooper is a decent value, but, you know, when you get a guy like Cooper, you have to play it safe with your wide receivers around him and draft guys like Landry, draft guys like Woods, because you're going to get boom games, weak winning games out of Cooper, but you're also going to get that disappearing act. So you need to draft some kind of different wide receiver in order to bolster that, so you actually get something from the position. Whereas if you grab somebody like Gallup, I feel like he's safe week in and week out, and you don't have to worry about the rest of your lineup when you've got a guy like Gallup. So I like Gallup. For me, he's the best value there. And listen, Hoos, I do want to punish you, so I kind of hope you're wrong.
Well, hey, but, man, I would welcome that punishment from you. We shared a house together just a year ago, and taking back to those times,
and maybe once COVID's gone, we'll
never mind.
Hey man, we had. I'll tell you a little tidbit. We had some very, 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 very delicious
pudding. Banana pudding. Yeah, I made some banana pudding. Yep. Listen, all I remember is everybody in the house making a giant mess.
And we're George cleaning. And I was there, George, too, every George, night.
George Manhoos cleaning up after everybody.
Every night, yeah.
Every night, yep. All right, we got time for one more Hoos.
All right, so I gave you Greg Ward. He's going to lead the Eagles in targets. Here's another spicy one, I think. Hunter Renfro. I think he leads the Raiders in targets, and wide receiver targets. Not, I think Waller still will be the hog there. But Hunter Renfro, I think he ends up leading the wide receivers in targets. When he did get the, you know, whatever run he did get, I mean, the guy was basically a wide receiver one as far as points in fantasy. I believe he had a couple finishes, I want to say, as wide receiver one, at least his points per game. You're looking back at him, he had like some 22-point games, some 19-point games when he was, you know, healthy. And when they started him and they targeted him a ton. So do that over the long, you know, again, rookies. They're starting Ruggs and Bryan Edwards. These are their starters.
I like Ruggs. I like Bryan Edwards.
I do too, but they're
But they're rookies,
right,
in a COVID season with right. no preseason, right. with limited practices. So Hunter Renfro getting the lead amount of targets for wide receivers is actually a good possibility. And what I do want to say, and I've said this on every podcast where I can squeeze it in when it doesn't really fit, which is kind of like right here. You know, everybody's still super high on Waller. I like Waller. You know, the tight ends after him, it's like a wasteland. So, you know, yeah. I can see why people are high on him. But when Hunter Renfro was on the field, Waller got 20 less yards and something like 3 less targets per game.
Interesting.
So now when you add the other two rookies and Hunter Renfro, I'm a little bit worried about Waller, and that's a totally different topic than what we were talking about. But Hunter Renfro definitely can lead this team in wide receiver targets. It's bold only because they spent so much draft capital in the position. But, you know, Tyrell Williams is right. hurt again.
Yeah. And,
you know,
and they knew he was going to be gone. They knew he was going to be gone after this year. And, yeah, I mean, they probably knew a lot. The team knows their players. They see their guys. Tyrell Williams, as much as I love the guy, they probably knew he had the shoulder injury, and he probably said, no, I'm not getting surgery. Like, I don't believe in it or something. Who knows? Maybe he's a Jehovah's Witness.
Right. And this team's been in a rebuild as far as offense. And, you know, I mean, they got Jacobs last year. They went wild with wide receivers this year, and Lynn Bowden's there. But these are all new guys. I mean, Hunter Renfro is going to be the veteran on the field with Waller. I like it. Yeah, I think it's a good take.
All right, guys, that is going to wrap up Sleeper Wire's bold takes. You know, perhaps we'll run out what the punishment's going to be for the guys that had bold takes and lose. And we're going to do some kind of Twitter something. We'll get a fan interaction. Yeah. Yeah, well, it can't be a bath because nobody will fit it. We're not all going to fit in there with George. What I will say is anybody who didn't give a bold take, and again, I won't Chris Moore any names. Anybody who didn't give a bold take automatically gets punished. So,
yes.
So to close out the show, Hoos, where can they find you?
You can find me on the Twitter sphere, Sleeperwire Hoos. That's H-U-S, Sleeperwire H-U-S. So you can find me on the amazing app, Sleeper HQ. You can find me at Prophet Hoos, pushing, you know, notifications with Mod 1 and Mod 2. I'm not sure who's Mod 1 and Mod 2 between Levi and I. You know, we integrate days, you know, like, I mean, one day he's Mod 1, next day I'm Mod 1, next day he's Mod 2. I don't know. We got the t-shirts and whatnot.
In my world, you're always Mod 1.
Oh, thank you, man. Appreciate that.
And Justin, where can the people find you, Justin?
They can find me on Twitter at Justin_B, and also in the comments of anything that Hoos posts. I'll be there.
You find him in the background, just taking care of all things Sleeper Wire and whatnot.
That Evan
Fallon,
true.
Do an amazing job. I gotta give love to my girl Fallon as well. My guy Steve Spack, everybody at the Sleeper Wire team. even my bae that didn't do notes for these bold takes. I mean, I'm disappointing you tonight, but I'm still going to squeeze your butt cheek later.
Well, and with that, I'm at BFTG Jason on Twitter. I'm at BFTG Dr. Mill on the Sleeper app. And we, of course, are at the Sleeper Wire show. You can catch us throughout the season. We're going to have shows pretty much every day, including a live show on Wednesday night. The Mailbag comes out on Thursday. Sleeper Wire Blitz Sunday morning to get you started with your fantasy day.
Yes.
And Tuesday, behind the Patreon wall, you have the Way Over Wire ad shows with my bud, my guy, the show, Steve Spack, and Dirty Jobs.
Yes.
We'll catch you next time.